Congratulations, because you guys are using your gifts for the glory of God. And that's why we have gifts. Now, you're going to say, what is he doing now? Well, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 former students in here. So they're going, so this is nothing new for them, me moving around and talking. So I have this phrase, I walk and talk. So if you're wondering, why isn't he frozen behind that podium right there? Talk just like this in monotone. You came to the wrong place. I walk and talk and I move around, and I'm probably going to need tape down here to make sure I don't pass remarks, because we got to make sure the camera. I don't care. But Pastor Mike says, no, wait. They can't see an empty pulpit up there. I need to have somebody there. So, all right. But our gifts are awesome. And believe it or not, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were given a gift. Now, you may go, I don't know if I have any gifts. I get it. A lot of us don't know that. Sometimes it takes a while. I'll be honest, you know, and I was a little knee-high to a tadpole when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then a few years later, I got baptized. I did not realize my gift until I was getting close to 30. I was getting to be old by then. But it happens. And now you're going, brother, just shut up. You're talking too much. Lord just done open that faucet, and you're just going to have to. And then, oh, by the way, Marvin gave me carte blanche, people. He says, 5 hours, keep rolling, brother. I don't care. I'm good. So, so there we are. Oh, my. So, a lot of things going on here, because I have a PowerPoint, and then they got the regular verses. So if things don't match up, just give us lots of grace, would you please? Because we're all learning on how to, you know, get this thing rolling and get going here. So let's bow our heads and pray before we get started, please. Heavenly Father, we just give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord, for you are our guide. You've brought us here. We are of one spirit, we're of one heart and mind, to come to love and to worship you as our almighty God, as our creator, as our redeemer, as our ever-present help. And I just ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit have free reign to move in amongst us, touching the hearts and the minds of your people, and blessing each and every one of them. We just thank you, I praise you, and I glorify you, Heavenly Father. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew number 2. Am I missing something? No? She's over here laughing at me already. Gee, thanks. Man, let's get started here. Matthew chapter number 2. Now, to give a couple of you a refresher, just think about this. And I'm a person, I like making hypothetical situations. I just make stuff up, okay? And I'll use people in here, and I just make them up, okay? And so I'm gonna pick on Elijah here, okay? So if his mom and dad get mad at me, yeah, well, okay, I'll be one and done. You won't see me no more, okay? They'll bury me in some oil tank somewhere and you never find me again, all right? But I'm going to pick on Elijah. And let's just say Elijah had a girlfriend, but he comes home one day. He says, Dad, I don't know what to do. You know my girlfriend? She's pregnant. I don't know what to do, Dad. Dad's going, What did you do, right? I mean, that's a natural response. What did you do? Seriously, Dad, I haven't touched her. I haven't done anything. Boy, you had to have done something because, you know, that's the only way it works, right? Just think of what's going on in his mind, right? Just think about Joseph. What's going on in his mind? Lord, I haven't touched her. He has family. I haven't touched her. But yet, she's starting to show. And then the decree comes down. And I'm skipping some time here. Hey, you're off to Bethlehem. Okay, because, you know, we got to, you know, the government tells us we have to go down there and do our bit. So, to check in. So, he does. He's faithful. But now think about his position now. What's going on in his life? What's going on Mary's? She's like, wow, I'm pregnant. There's the Holy Spirit. That's what the angels tell me. She's never experienced any of this. I mean, what do you think all the feelings and the emotions that are just emanating and pulsating through their veins, through their arteries, through their mind of what is going on? And now we have to travel. And then they travel all the way there, and then they can't find a place for the night. Now, my wife will be the first one to tell you. If it was me, oh, he'd be upset and mad and yelling and screaming and, yeah. But I keep telling her, that's the old me. This is the new me, just kind and gentle. Yeah, those that know me going, yeah, right, sure, good one. But we're setting up this foundation here for chapter 2 of Matthew. Starting with verse number 1 as I read 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea." Like, where else, right? "For this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now, there was about approximately 2 years. Talk about not wanting to go back to his hometown. Joseph and Mary had baby Jesus. They stayed in Bethlehem. It's like, we ain't going back home yet. We're staying here. And they did. And they finally found a house to live in. Joseph finally found some work. Man, they're living the dream, right? They're living life. They're doing what they're called to do. But now, they're going to get a visit. So let's start at verse 1 here. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Now, this Herod the king, he was one bad dude. He was, look, if you think any of our rulers are bad, think about this. Herod killed two of his sons. What? Yeah. Any fathers in here? Would you want to kill your own son? Well, that's what Herod did. You know why? Because he was scared and afraid that they were going to usurp him and dethrone him. No way. We're wiping him out. We're wiping my boys out. And not just them. You know what? For good measure, we're going to wipe mama out too. That's what he did. That's how mean and cruel this Herod was. My goodness. Now think about this as we progress through the reading. This is the kind of king that is ruling over Jerusalem at this time. Somebody who wouldn't give a plug's nickel for any of you. He'd chop your head off, slit your throat, gut you in a heartbeat. That's how bad of a person he was. Mean and cruel. So now, this Herod was sitting on his throne, and Magi from the east showed up. Now, you know we're kind of familiar with the Magi, right? You're thinking, Magi, how are we familiar with this? Think of Daniel. We just finished a whole book, Daniel, and what was Daniel considered? In Babylonian, it was a type of magi, a wise man. They studied the stars. Wow. They read things. They were highly knowledgeable people. Sometimes they were even considered, they would be considered kings sometimes. That term would be cast upon them, even though they weren't. But they held that kind of ranking. So these are magi. Now, we're thinking, as historians anyhow, they're thinking that these particular magi were Zoroastrianisms or whatever. They worshiped the stars. So they didn't just study them, they actually worshiped them, these particular magi. But now they're from the east. And most historians believe they came from Babylonia or Persia. And if you don't know, that's big news today, all right? Persia just lost one of their extreme evil rulers. But these magi are coming from there, in that area. Now, I sit back and I think, okay, there's a lot of stars up there. Even new stars might pop up. Why would they think that this particular star was special? Well, think about the thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands of some of the citizens that lived in the area. They were what? Jews. Oh. Do you think, I mean, here we got Ezekiel coming, living in the land there. Daniel's in the land. So they have Jewish history. And since they're magi, they're going to read it and study it because, hey, a lot of these people are Jews out here. We're going to study this and see what these people are about. And so they've been reading the Torah and they figured it out. About the Messiah. There's going to be a star shown. And they see it. There's a star. Oh, wow. We think this is this. And so they get the rest of their magi buddies together and say, hey, see the star. And they're talking amongst themselves. And finally they say, hey, let's go check this out. I mean, if this is your line of work, I mean, think about this. Whatever field that you're in, man, if somebody brings up a new breed of cow that's supposed to grow twice as fast, be twice as thick, man, Justice, you'd be over there wanting to check it out, right? Hey, what's this, you know, new genetics? Hey, let me in on this. I like that. I get paid twice as fast? Good. Makes my wife twice as happy. Awesome. But this is what these guys are doing. We're going to go check this out. So these are magi from the east. So now they're heading to Jerusalem. Now, why did they go to Jerusalem? I thought the star was over Bethlehem. Well, there's a couple of theories here. When the Magi are traveling in a long train of camels, probably, right? With gifts and everything on there. And you go into another person's country and you're not invited, number one. You just show up. They're from the east, this long train here. What do you think's going? And then the people of that country you just went into, what do you think's going through their mind? Hey, king, we're getting invaded here, right? So what do? You go to Jerusalem. You've got to go to the king. Hey, king, you see all of this here? We're here for a purpose. And we don't want to fight or battle. We're looking for something, right? Okay, that's why you go to Jerusalem. And the other theory, the school of thought is that the star was actually over Jerusalem. So they went there. And I'll explain why they think that here in a little bit. So now the star is over Jerusalem. They're following the star and they go, okay, we're in Jerusalem. So let's go see the king, who's Herod. Now, the thing is, they're from another country. And this wasn't like the age of internet. They weren't getting the information instant. They didn't know that this guy, kills his own kids and kills his wife and just slaughters innocent people for the fun of it. So they don't know any of this. So they're just innocently coming in there saying, hey, king, this is what we're here for. Verse 2, and this is their question to the king. This is our purpose for coming here. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say who is going to become king of the Jews, who's going to get voted in to become king or to be placed as king. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? This means that there's some serious birthright going on here. And here's Herod. What? Who's been born king of the Jews? I thought I was the king of the Jews. I mean, just think about you sitting there and somebody's asking you this question and the way they ask it. What? Now, it goes on to say, for we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Man, that's awesome. People are going to come worship him. How come I don't know this? Yeah. I'm the king here, right? Should I not know this, right? Well, this also tells you that he probably hasn't been to the tabernacle in a while and listened to the priests preaching anyhow, right? Because if they would come to church every Sunday and hear the man of God preaching the word, he probably would already known this. But that tells you something about a cruel, mean, evil ruler, right? So here we go. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. You better believe he was troubled. What? Who's born king of the Jews? Right? He's getting upset. He's getting mad. He wants to know, who is this person that's going to think they're going to come and usurp me as the king? And then it says, and all of Jerusalem was troubled. But you want to know why Jerusalem was troubled? You know what they were ready to experience? People are fixing to die. That's why they were troubled. Oh, my goodness, no. The king is troubled. He's wanting to know who the king of the Jews is. And, come on, guys. Let's hide, the women and children and lock the doors up and batten down the hatches because we're not sure what's going to happen next with this guy as our king. This is why they were troubled. Oh, my goodness. And this king? Now, let's go on to see. Check this out next here. So in verse 4, gathering all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Seriously? If you're going into the tabernacle in those days, you should know where the Messiah was going to be born. That was pretty much common knowledge. But he brought all of the chief priests there. Now, historians are saying that he only brought the Sanhedrin and those chief priests that were in Jerusalem. Just think about all the towns and cities around also had other priests. He didn't have time to bring all them in. He just brought in this select group that just happened to be in Jerusalem. Hey, guys, come here. Hey, tell me, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? They're going, Bethlehem. Don't you know this? You know? They're like, everybody knows this. It didn't say they went away for 30 days and prayed and fasted trying to figure out where he's supposed to be born, does it? No. They turned right around and answered him. Oh. I mean, they probably turned themselves. It's Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem? Yeah, it's Bethlehem. Oh, okay, good. Hey, King, Bethlehem. That is where the Messiah is going to be born. Okay. Now, verse 5. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, why did they say Judea? I was thinking about this, and Pastor Mike knows this. A few years back, we used to live in a little itty-bitty little teeny-tiny little town in southwest Kansas called Elkhart, Kansas. We sat right on the Oklahoma state line and 7 miles from the Colorado state line. Couldn't get much more to the southwest than that, okay? But it's an interesting thing. If you were to sit down, pull up old Google Maps there and type in Elkhart, you want to know the first thing that would pop up? Right there, Elkhart, Indiana. What? I mean, there's another Elkhart in the United States? I thought this was only unique for us. No. There's more than one Bethlehem, people. What? Yeah. There was more than one Bethlehem. So this is why they had to specifically say Judea, like Elkhart, Indiana, specifically say Indiana, or in our case, no, we're in Kansas, you know, where the wind blows all the time. You think the wind here bad? I'm like, yeah, we're just like, yeah, okay, we're good. And you guys around here, oh my goodness, you know, your hair is all out here like this. I got over that a long time ago, my light flyaway hair, oh my goodness, forget it. So now we have in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet in verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, I've never been accused of ever using my PowerPoints that I put together, so I've skipped. She's back there going, good, don't have to do this. And then I skipped one of the verses already. Golly. Can you pop up there, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3? Yeah. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Okay. So this is talking about the Messiah, and kings are going to be coming to the brightness of your rising, okay? And this is what is going to happen to Jesus here, and this is why I'm kind of backing up, because you're going, why did I bother taking notes? I don't know. And then the star, I kind of skipped that too. Golly, I was going pretty good, and then I realized, man, I skipped half my stuff. And then we'll get out here early for lunch. Oh, you're going, that's what we want, brother, early for lunch? Oh, okay, sorry. Now, Let's step back for a second for the star so I can fill in some of the gaps. And then I'll get back to our regular scheduled programming if that's okay with you. All right. So the star, some historians believe that it was a comet. It wasn't a comet. But they're trying to justify physically what naturally it could be. But see, they don't realize we serve a God who deals in the supernatural. When he says he can make a way where there is no way, when he says he can put a highway in the middle of the desert for us, we serve a God who can do anything because what? He made everything. So who's to say he just can't, hey, star, come right over here. And it's there. And that was a special star because it wasn't like the North Star. No, this had its own unique brightness to it. Its own illumination, which drew people to it. And it drew the Magi to them. But it says in Numbers chapter 24, verses 17 through 19. Don't wait till I get caught up. She's finding it. This is Balaam's prophecy. Remember Balaam? He was a prophet, but he was a prophet for profit. Yeah, he wanted to make sure he got a profit for being a prophet. Okay? So in Numbers chapter 24, did I give you that one there? Is that working? Okay. Well, I'll just read it. It says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Seth. Edom shall be a possession. Seir, its enemies, also will be a possession while Israel performs valiantly. One from Jacob shall have dominion and will destroy the remnant of the city. That star is what shone brightly. That was Balaam's prophecy. Man, that was a long time before Jesus showed up, wasn't it? 28 generations? That's a long time. Wow. That's a long time. And there's that star. So the star went over Jerusalem, brought the Magi there. So they come to the king. They ask the king. And then in verse 7, now we get back to our regular scheduled programming here. Is that okay? Are you with me? Okay, good. If you're asleep, let me know. I'll wake you up. I got some cold water. I got water here. All right. Verse 7, when Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. Well, here you go. He didn't know where the Messiah was going to be born. And then he needed to know, when was the child born? But here's the thing. He did it in what? Secretly. You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to do business secretly, doesn't he? He loves to get people over in the corner talking, right? And if you don't know this, let me tell you the secrets to the trade of the devil. Lies, deceit, and then death. And it works like that every time. He deals in lies. He's going to take truth and then just twist it just enough. It's a lie. But he's to say it's true. And then he's going to take that truth and deceive people with it. And then there's going to come death. Now think about what just took place here with that. Herod secretly calls the Magi to determine from them the exact time of the star. Okay, when did the star appear? Oh, approximately 2 years ago, not quite, year and a half or so. Okay. He's doing this in secret. He sent them to Bethlehem, verse 8, and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Are you kidding me? You come tell me so I can go over there and chop his head off. All right? Why? He's deceiving them. He's lying to them that he wants to come and worship the child with them. You know, hey, you tell us so I can come. Really? He is the king. He doesn't know that the Messiah is known as the King of the Jews. And he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And he doesn't know that there's a star out there to guide people here. And then he doesn't know how long ago it was. And now you're telling me you want to come now? Now, you go ahead of me. Why didn't he say, let me come with you? Why not? Because he has to prepare to do what? Death and destruction. He says, that's why you come back to tell me. And then I'm going to send my army down there. And he ended up doing that anyhow, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm letting the goose out of the bag for next week, aren't I? I'm sorry. Pastor, you need to forgive me. All right. Verse 9. Hearing the king, they went their way. Now get this. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them. Understand that terminology. It went before them. That means the star had to be over Jerusalem so that now they can follow it and lead before them. If it was already over in Bethlehem, it couldn't have gone before them, could it? No. These people, you know, we say language matters. Well, this matters here. It's telling us that the star is waiting for them. It also tells us that they had to travel at night. They couldn't travel during the day. How many times can you see a star during the day? I don't know. You tell me. Have any of you followed the star during the day? No. You can only follow it at night. So they traveled at night so they can follow the star. And the star led the way to Bethlehem. And not only just to Bethlehem, the star went right above the house they were supposed to go. They're going, no. Ah, here it is. Oh, I got a house right here. Knock, knock, knock. Yeah. This is what is leading them right there. The star led them right there. They didn't have to search through Bethlehem. They didn't. Oh, let's see. Okay, this Magi, you take that street down there. This next Magi, you go down this street, and then I'll go down this street over here. And then you other guys go down that far street over there and see and try to find the Messiah. No. The star led them right to the front doorsteps. Yesterday, my wife and I, we were out driving around. And we were up there around now, and I go, hey, I can show you where Andy and Cheryl live. Oh, okay. I says, well, I'm not going to be able to take you right to their front doorsteps because we have to go down a dirt road. And, you know, my wife didn't want to get the car dirty. Okay. All right. It's her baby. I get it. My truck, I could care less. But it's her baby, so her rules, right? So we're on the highway there between Nunn and Wellington. I says, see, here, this is where I would turn down to that corner, and I'll turn there, and it was just hard to tell. And then you got people, you know, doing about 75 instead of 55 like they're supposed to. You know, get out of my way, right? And so she goes, you mean the GPS took you right to their front doorstep? Yes. You mean the star took the Magi right to Jesus' front step? Yes. So that was early day GPS. Wow, you thought Google Maps was a new thing. Yeah. And so they had seen it in the east. They stood over it. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Yes. Eli scores a touchdown. Yes. Woo. Asa catches a pass. Yes. Awesome. Right? Owen, I don't even know what position Owen is, so I can't talk about it. Oh, Elijah broke up a pass. Yes, why? Because the parents, you're exceedingly glad for your children, aren't you? Yes. And guess what the Magi were? They were not followers of Jewish tradition or anything other than they've read it, they've studied it, and they're following the star. And now they get excited. We're going to be in the presence of a king. Now, I know as Americans, we're going, who cares, right? We haven't been ruled by a king for 250 years. Yes. But you go over to England, even though most of them don't care for King Charles, but they line up. Yay! Woo! The king, there he goes. They get all happy, right? And you see it on the news, they're all happy. Well, this is what the Magi were. They were all happy. They were happy Magi. They were happy to be there. But now, after coming into the house, so they had to knock on the door, open the door and let him in, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. King of the Jews, I worship you. This is how you fall prostrate, people. This is how you worship. One way that you worship. There's many ways. You say, well, why did you over-exaggerate that, brother? Because some of you don't realize you get to do that if you desire. You can lay out on your bellies, arms straight out, and pray to the Most High. And they're like sweet fragrance coming up into his nostrils. He says, there's my boy. There's my girl. Seeing them worshiping me. Yes, he gets excited when his children do that. Oh, they're on their knees. But they're worshiping me. You can be on one knee, two knees, full prostrate. You could stand and worship. But you know what? Do you think people, when they get in the presence of a king, stand and worship? What do? Yeah, they hit the ground, don't they? They get on one knee, two knees, or full frontal on the ground. You need to do that because you're worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's going to open the book. My sheep, go to the right. You don't want to be counted as a goat and head to the left. You don't want that exit now, do you? You want to be a sheep, go to right. Enter into your rest. Woo! Yeah. But you're going to have to humble ourselves under the hand of the Almighty Creator. And that's what these Magi did. They were followers, but they knew he was a king. So they fell down prostrate. Oh, yeah. It's okay. I'm going to let you know. You're going, how do I pray? Do I sit? Do I stand? Do I kneel? Do I lay prostrate? Any of those. Be led by the Spirit of God. There are some days the Spirit of God just puts me flat on my face. There are some days I just on my knees. And other days I'm just standing and I'm walking and praying. It doesn't matter as long as you are. So they came in the house and they worshiped him. Then, opening their gifts, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay. I'm just halfway through now. I told you, brother, you said I got 5 hours, right? Yeah, getting warmed up. Now, how many Magi were there? You see? See, brother, that's why I keep telling you. I don't know why you have me up here. You got the most intelligent, highly respected, and knowledgeable group of brothers and sisters in the Lord. Why am I even bothering being here? Because they know it just as well as I do. We have absolutely, positively no idea how many magi there are. We say three because there's three gifts. Historians believe that there was 12. Woo. Now, where they get all that, I couldn't dig deep enough to find that information. As you can tell, I probably tried, right? I just couldn't do it. Now, one of you out here, I know Gene probably has just the book. Yeah, it's in my back room down there. There's about 2 inches of dust. I'll blow it off and bring it to you, brother, so I can show it to you. He probably has that answer, but I don't. So I don't know why. That's the only reason we come up with that there are three kings, because there's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so they come up with the songs. We three kings of Orient are. That's the only reason. That's why I asked, how many were there? Because the Bible doesn't say, it just says magi. So just think if 10 guys were, or 12 guys were out there. What do you think Mary's thinking? Oh my goodness, what's going on here? Boy, what did you get me into? This is hard enough. Getting pregnant and without being married, but now you get all these magi here. What is going on? And then they fall down on their hands and knees, start worshiping him. Oh, just think of the sight that's going on now. Awesome. Now, the significance of the three gifts. Gold. Gold signifies kingship. Royalty, right? Kings don't bother with silver. Forget that. It's gold. Because that's what it signifies. Also spiritually, the tabernacle that was built in the wilderness, every article in there was overlaid with what? Gold. Ooh, the tabernacle. The throne room of God. God don't mess, does he? You think they're silver? Forget that stuff. I want the, give me gold. Why? Because God is king. Jesus is king. We're giving gold to the King of Kings. Yes. So spiritually, you have to, have you guys ever had teachings on the tabernacle? I don't know. If you haven't, we might want to put that in our future plans, because it is an awesome teaching. There is nothing left for debate when you're reading about the tabernacle. God says it's going to be this size, this dimension. And then he says, and you're going to get this person's going to do it. Don't question them, because they are skilled with gold. They know exactly what they're doing. Woo, Marvin, wouldn't you just love that? So somebody says, Marvin, I need you to come and make this island, the center island in my kitchen. It needs to be 4 foot wide, 10 foot long. It needs to have these kind of drawers on the front and back and this kind of countertop and so forth. You got everything, right? Here you go. And they just walk away and leave. You're going, man, the bosses, they're paying me and they're out of my hair, right? Why? Because you're the expert. That's what you're gifted. Is it not? God leaves nothing to chance. And he always puts gifted people right where he needs them. That's why each of you have a gift. And he's placed you here for such a time as this. And he wants you to use your gift for his glory and his honor. The second gift, frankincense. It is my favorite of the three, by the way. Yes, I like gold and everything else, but I like frankincense. Can we pull up Exodus chapter 30? Yes. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices. Now, I'm going to kill these words here. Stati and oncha and galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. And there shall be an equal part of each with it, and you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer. And in some Bibles it will say an apothecary, salted, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I shall meet you. Woo-hoo! And it shall be the most holy to you. The incense which you shall make, you shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make anything like it to use as a perfume shall be cut off from his people. Frankincense, and in my PowerPoint had a picture of a frankincense tree. How they get frankincense, I don't know if you've ever studied this. It's kind of like getting maple from a maple tree, except you don't drill a hole, you cut it here. And now the tree is going to release a serum to cover and to heal itself, right? So you have a frankincense tree, you make a series of slits on it, and then you just walk away. It's going to release serum that covers it. And then when it gets hard, they go over there with a knife and just kind of pop it off. It comes out as little balls of resin. It's frankincense. Now, you're thinking, well, the only frankincense I know is as an essential oil. It's in an oil format. So I thought it would come out as an oil. No, that's not how it comes out. It comes out as a resin. Now, it says that they're going to beat it into a fine powder. So they grind it down, all them and the other spices. Notice how they said, you take these three spices and you're going to mix it with the frankincense of equal. So it's 25, 25, 25, 25. For those of you, you know how to do the math, right? Yeah, okay. Just messing with you, Elijah, making sure you're awake. All right. And then they mix it together. All of it is a powder. They take it before there's a table of incense, and they spread it on there, and they burn it. And you take, the priest will take the prayers of the people to that table and offer it up unto the Lord. You see, that incense is as a sweet savor unto the Lord. And he takes your prayers, takes each of our prayers that you pray unto the Almighty, and it's offered up as a sweet fragrance unto the Most High. He breathes in your prayers. Ah, he loves that smell, that fragrance. He breathes it in. He enjoys it. Your prayers. He enjoys. Yes. And guess who offers his prayers unto the Father? We say it in whose name? Jesus. Woo! And why was Jesus given frankincense? Do I need to say no more? Yes. Oh, by the way, an ounce of frankincense costs about $140. It ain't cheap. Oh, by the way, does anybody happen to know what country we get frankincense from? The good stuff. No. South of Israel, right across the Nile, and a country that we've heard a lot about, and a lot of their people are in this country that we hear a lot about. Somalia. What? Yes. The country of Somalia and the country of Oman. Their trees are, now there's all sorts of frankincense trees. You can get some over in India, throughout Persia. But the creme de la creme, el primo, yeah, that's where they get it from. That's the expensive stuff, all right? So you're going, This is a third world country. Man, there are people over here committing fraud all day long, and this is where they get the good stuff at? Yeah, that's where they get the good stuff. It's like, it doesn't make sense, does it? But you see, it doesn't have to, because God is always in control. He knows where everything comes from. He knows where everything's going. And we just got to go along for the ride and not worry about it. Frankincense is also known as liquid gold. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That oil of gladness comes from frankincense. It is in that oil. Woo! Yes. For those of you who are mourning today, for whatever it is, our God, you shed a tear, our God is going to reach down there and wipe that tear away. That's how much our God loves you and knows you and cares for you. And he will pour the oil of gladness upon you because he wants his people to be glad. No more pain, no more suffering, all this other stuff. Yes, in this flesh we suffer. Yes, but spiritually, he wants you glad. Frankincense is also used as anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, and it eases joint pain. Uh-oh. Jerry, I got 5 more minutes? I don't know if I'll get done in 5. Like I said, guys, I'm probably one and done here. Pastor Mike can say, forget this. I can't have you up there that long. Myrrh. Myrrh means it to die for humanity. Myrrh means bitter. Was intrinsically linked with death, suffering, and affliction, pointing to Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. It is used as an expensive perfume, an ingredient in holy anointing oils. And there's 3 different types of holy anointing oils. Myrrh is the main ingredient in it. It is also in with the oil of gladness also. In Psalm chapter 45, verses 7 and 8. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. All your garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces, stringed instruments have made you glad. Myrrh. When Jesus was born as a little kid, even at age of 2 years old, they take myrrh, probably mixed it with olive oil, and rubbed the body down. Keeps the germs, diseases, and all those things away. It's also the oil of gladness. It is also historically used as an antiseptic for the mouth, throat. It treats wounds and ailments for congestion and indigestion. You see, think about all these gifts, what they do spiritually, what they do physically, and how it's going to help them when they have to flee to go to Egypt. Yeah. See, God is not only going to take care of you one way, he's going to take care of you multiple ways. Why? Because he knows you and he loves you and he cares for you. Just remember, it's not about you. It's about you loving your Creator. It's about you humbling yourself into the hand of the Almighty. It's about you saying, Jesus, you are my King. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. And God's saying, and you now are my children. And as a loving father, I take care of you. That's what a loving father does. You ask for bread, do I give you rocks? No. I'm not just going to give you bread, I'm going to give you the best bread. You ask for meat, I'm going to give you the best meat ever. This word is the best meat we could ever put into our bodies, people. There's so much nutrition in there. It will unearth the lies, the deceit of the evil one. You read it there. Whoa, my God. He's pointed out that stuff. Yeah, that's the kind of God we serve. Verse 12, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country. We have no idea where they went. Just back to their own country. But here's the interesting thing. And having been warned by God in a dream. Most dreams usually involve what? Angels. Were angels involved in this one? They were warned by God himself. You go a different route. And if there was three, if there was 12, or any number in between, what do you think they're sitting around the campfire saying, man? And they get up. Hey, you want some coffee? Yeah. My goodness, I had a dream last night. Ooh, you too? I had a dream too. What? Well, what was your dream about? Because I had a dream too. Oh, we were supposed to leave, but don't go back to Jerusalem. That was the same dream I had. What do you think that kind of morning coffee was like? Yeah. Everything. Okay, guys. Woo. We're not going back to Herod. We're going another way. And that's what they did. Let us stand. Please, let us stand. Conclusion. Trust God. Trust Him. He's going to take care of you. The decisions you have to make in life, trust God. Pray. Seek his face, fast about it, do everything that you physically can do, but you got to end up trusting God. He will let you know, and he will guide and direct your footsteps, but you got to trust him. Why? This whole story is about people who didn't know God, but they did what God wanted. He got his son supplied with everything he was going to need and told him to head out before Herod showed up to kill him. See, that's our God. So all the things you may be going through right now, give it to God. Trust him. If you go through it, you go through it. So what? If he takes you out of it, great. But see, everything's for his glory and honor. And that's why we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is true. Your word is just. Your word does not return void from which it was accomplished, sent forth to do. And I just send forth your word here this day. And I just pray that it will have its good and perfect working in and inside of each and every one of us. That it will touch our hearts, our minds, our very lives. That will encourage us to put our faith, our hope, our confidence into you as our Creator and Redeemer. We just thank you for your word, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.